blessing.
Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has created the heavens and the earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, from God the Father, in Christ Jesus the Lord, through the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us continue, congregation, with the singing of Psalter 125, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. And what follows, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 125.
Thank you.
scripture reading this morning, our congregation, can be found in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And we will read the verses 29 through 47. Acts 2, beginning with verse 29 through to the end. But we will first place ourselves under the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 2, beginning with verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Till so far the reading of God's word. Then we hope to remember in prayer, congregation, Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Susan Arnoldusen, who were blessed with a well-born boy this past week. Let us seek the Lord's help and countenance in prayer. Almighty and eternal, unchangeable God in the heavens, then it is on the morning of this thy day, whereas a token of thy goodness and forbearance, thou dost gather us within the walls of this thy house, round about thy eternal word and testimony, which thou hast entrusted and yet left amongst us. And may we be given, Lord, that true humility before thee, when we seek to call upon thee. For thou hast so testified, and there is a people who may learn of it also in this life. And that is necessary for each one of us, that thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. But then there shall also, Lord, be those who are no stranger of that instruction, who shall also lament the coldness and the deadness which does live and which does remain within from man's side. And to that end, Lord, when we seek to call upon thee, then we each have that same need, whether thou hast begun or whether there is no beginning. And that is that work of thy dear Spirit, that which was so testified of on that past Sabbath, whereas a fruit of thy meritorious labor, thou hast sent forth thy Spirit to dwell in the midst of thy church. And may it then be that we may be given as congregation to beseech thee and to beg of thee, that thou wouldest condescend also in this day to dwell amongst us, to open, Lord, thy word and testimony, and to open our hearts thereunder, and to instruct in those mysteries of salvation, to instruct and to lead into the riches of what thou hast wrought as the eternal King of Kings. And may we then lay the congregation before Thee. There is not one hidden from Thee. My Lord, that instruction is now needed within our heart. And may it then please Thee to shoot forth arrows, as that rider upon that white horse, there to turn unto Thyself, there to draw by the irresistible cords of eternal love, and there to take as that great prophet, that interceding high priest, and that ruling King of Kings, to take and to add unto that number also in this day. And that we might yet receive a deep impression, could it be a conviction within, of Thy righteousness, of Thy holiness, and of Thy majesty. And that we are but dust before Thee. We say it so easily with our lips. But that it may then be brought by Thy Spirit as that living matter within the heart. And that it may be that moment of Thy set time where Thou dost pass by a soul and speak unto it, live, yea, live. Then also that full loathsomeness of what lives within shall be unfolded before the eyes. And so remember also Thy Zion, Lord. Thou knowest where they are, whom that they are. And Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest the condition of their soul. And if it is well, then they have come up with a cry also unto Thy house, to receive yet a little token, a little encouragement. Could it be a little comfort for their soul from Thee, or perhaps a little correction? Thou knowest they desire the former, but that the latter, Lord, is so often more profitable for their souls spiritually. Wilt Thou yet then unfold the riddles of their heart? Wilt Thou yet open what is so closed from man's side? And wilt Thou yet testify of Thine own work within the soul? Then they long to hear Thy voice, to receive a token of Thee, but that they may be given to fall, Lord, on Thy side by renewal. For there Thou dost never disappoint. And so also the unconverted, those who travel for their own account, and that the urgency of that short span of our life, that time between Thy demanding justice and Thy executed justice, that it may drive us out unto the throne of grace. We lay before Thee the elderly in the midst of the congregation, the many needs bodily that they may have. Wilt Thou grant them strength for the day, also in the climbing of the years? But may it be to spread the shadow of Thy wing over them, to grant them a token for their soul, that they may be given to hasten for their very life's sake. In the midst also where there will be widows, widowers perhaps in the congregation, those with empty places, those who mourn the loss of loved ones, where there are other cares, where there are other burdens that can be in so many ways. But Lord, that the many crosses which do all testify of what we have done in paradise, that it may be a sanctified way for this one and for that one, that it not testify against us. For Thou dost speak in Thy word that Thou dost not afflict the children of men willingly. And so that the many ways and burdens which Thou dost lay upon us because of our deep fall, that it may yet drive out unto Thee, and that it may yet lead us to that true humbling before Thy countenance. The middle-aged also in the strength of life, our families, the fathers, the mothers. Lord, that also there it may yet be evident that thou dost know of us, that there may be yet in truth many turned unto thee, and also for our dear youth and children, where they do bear that mark upon their forehead also of the triune God, that it may please thee to work it effectually within their hearts, to the upbuilding of thy Zion, to the glorification of thy name. And we may lay before thee also the parents who were blessed with a healthy child in this past week, that they may be given to acknowledge thee in that truth, and in that way of true gratitude, where thou hast spared life and where thou hast given new life, and that they may be given to raise also the child entrusted to them within the confines of thy word, bound to that testimony. And could it be that for the mother also renewed strength may be given in due time? Remember also the further relations, grandparents, where they may yet be. Wilt thou yet grant there also a prayer in the heart for the rising generation? We may lay before thee the many needs also within the school. Thou knowest there what is needed also. Wilt thou provide for staff? Wilt thou help the board week by week in that weighty task they have been given? And wilt thou guide them in accordance with thy word and testimony? We lay before thee also the consistory and thy servant, whom thou hast placed in the midst of this flock. Wilt thou grant unto thy servant what he needs also in this day where he may labor in a sister congregation? And may it be that also he may be given to experience the rich opening of thy word and the unction of thy spirit, and that he may receive a measure of strength also in those labors thou dost give him to do. And could it be for the consistory also, that courage and strength may be given, and Lord, that together by moments they may be given to see and to experience. Underneath are the everlasting arms, to be given in truth that eye upon thee. So often we seek to make our own way, and then time and again to learn that it shall all come to naught from man's sight. But hast thou not testified, Lord, also within thy word? And is it not also a testimony when that word is yet opened of what thou hast thyself promised within thy word? The government is upon thy shoulders, and the testimony of thy dear spirit sent forth, that was now that crowning confirmation thereof. And may that be given then to all of thy servants in this day, wherever they are called to labor. Also in the midst of our denomination wilt thou grant many of them in the climbing of the years, wilt thou grant them yet the opening of thy word, and strength to bring forth that word. And may it be as that time draws near, where the curatorium also shall meet together, and that there also, and there may yet be those who may be given to testify of how they have been taken to be thrust out into those labors within thy vineyard, a work they did not seek, a work they did not desire of self, but where there is no other way but to go forth with that burden and then to cast it upon thee. Wilt thou yet be a surprising God unto an unworthy people? And so also for thy servant in this morning who may be here, wilt thou be on his right, wilt thou be on his left, Wilt thou grant him the matters in the heart, the words upon the lips, that he may be given to deal honestly also with his hearers, and that they may be bound upon his heart, and then to separate the precious from the vile, that it bring forth no uncertain sound, but that it may yet be to the upbuilding of thy Zion, to the encouragement thereof. Look so upon each one in mercy. What we forget, wilt thou not forget it? We ask it in the forgiveness of our many sins, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We continue with the singing of Psalter 112, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Before thy people I confess the wonders of thy righteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, that I have made thy great salvation known, thy truth and faithfulness displayed, thy loving kindness shown. And what follows, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 112. other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." With those words, dear congregation, the Lord Jesus himself has testified in his earthly sojourn that through the giving of his life for the joy set before him, that as that great shepherd, the Gentile would be added to the Jew, that there would be added to that fold of the Jewish people in rich numbers from among the Gentiles, the four corners of the earth, through that one door. And thus as that good shepherd, beloved, who gave his life through that deep way of his humiliation, but upon the crowning glory of his exaltation, he would gather together by his voice. And that is now that question to search our heart this morning. Do you, do I, do we know his voice, children, youth? Do you know his voice? Do you know how he speaks by his voice? Do you know of that work within our heart? For that is now that necessity as he gathers in those souls upon his meritorious labors. Then I hear you say it, perhaps, children. What now is his voice? How do we know that voice? How does he gather by his voice? That is now through the faithful preaching of his word, where it is applied powerfully by the Spirit in the heart. That is his Spirit which was sent forth as was promised by his Father. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And thus he gathers out of the midst of the church, that church which in its beginning was established there at that time of Pentecost and is still being gathered. But was there now a time, beloved, that that cry came forth from your heart? "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Because I read further in God's word that it testifies, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Thus that voice is heard in the heart. It enters in. And then there comes a following, beloved, and the fruits begin to show forth. And of that we desire to consider this morning, out of God's word, that portion read, Acts 2, in the words of our text, verse 47. Acts 2, verse 47, where God's word reads, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." We place beneath these words by way of theme the Christian church in its infancy. And in the first place, we consider the condition within the church. For we read in our text, "Praising God and having favor with all the people." In the second place, the growth of the church. For we read, "The Lord added to the church daily." The Lord added. And then thirdly, the strength of the church. Now, children, we read, "The Lord added such as should be saved." And therein lies also that strength of the church. It lies, beloved, upon that eternal foundation. Thus, the Christian church in its infancy, the condition, the growth, and the strength. And may it please the Lord to open his word and testimony. praising God and having favor with all the people. But we see also within the words of our text, congregation, that word, church. And if we would study that within the context now of God's word, that is the first time that word church is used in that sense, in that a congregation had been gathered together and had manifested itself and revealed itself as that group which had gathered together, desiring to gather under the true teaching of the apostles. Thus we could say the word bore fruit. We know that on that day of Pentecost. We have heard that last week. And then a church manifested, a church revealed itself. And that is maybe just for our children to clarify for a moment when we speak of the church this morning, children. Then we are not speaking of the building as you may think of it. No. The church as the building is where we gather together. But the church as it manifested and revealed itself on that day of Pentecost, that is as that body that the Lord gathers together. And then the older youth will know it from their catechism instruction. That is the church militant here upon earth, but that is also the visible form of the church, of which there shall be wheat and chaff. But we may believe that there was a great number that is without doubt in that early Christian church. No, it was not perfect. That also becomes evidence in the furtherance of Acts. But there was a great number of that church militant among them. A people who learned to confess as the bride in the Song of Solomon, I am black but comely, black in self, but comely in another. Do you also know the language, the heart language, beloved? They were one in their head. They were one in Christ who had merited all righteousness, who had fulfilled all things. They were one in him of whom Paul testifies, Hebrews 2. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. And now we read of that church, and that is connected within the words of our text, praising God. But a church, and we could mention that for a moment. Church in the original language that is comprised of two words in the Greek. And that is very practical. That is seen also in the context of that portion we have read. Church, that means to come out of and to be called together. Yet to come out of. What did we read together, youth? Verse 40. And with many other words, Peter writes, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, thus to come out of. Children, you also have the mark upon your foreheads. The Lord has separated you. Maybe one says, but I did not ask for that. No, that is something, isn't it? You and I did not ask for it, and yet the Lord separated and placed under the truth of that word. Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Were they better? They learned so different. But now to come out of, what? To be separated in the world. To come out of the power of sin, the power of Satan, the power of darkness. And to be called together. Why? We read that in the words of our text, congregation. To praise God. Yeah, what is it to praise God? What is it to praise God? That is to honor, to extol, and to glorify God above all. Is there one here and there who sighs under such a thought in this morning hour? In paradise it lies so different for each one of us by nature. Then we have no desire, no need to praise God, beloved congregation. There we desire to sing our own praises to the honor of our own name. And there is now a people who carry that burden with a lively knowledge within the heart, sometimes day by day pressed upon them, sometimes as a heavy burden, and sometimes they sigh in their complaint because it is no burden for them. Then they sigh in their coldness. Or perhaps one here and there who has been instructed into what they are in Adam. And with grief upon their soul in this morning, they say, there was a time now I was given to see it. That in paradise there I could glorify my Creator and my Maker who had set me there most perfectly. But now how is it then within that heart, congregation? Then perhaps they cry out this morning with the psalmist of Psalm 42. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Why? Because they miss so that communion of the Lord within their soul. And they see standing between that communion and the Lord their multitude of sin and of iniquity. For the first time, perhaps by renewal, perhaps one in their oldest age, so many times already that they must sing, from my sight, time and time again, brought to ruin. And now it is for such ones, it is so profitable to meditate also upon that church, as it is in Christ Jesus gathered together. Did not the psalmist testify in the furtherance of Psalm 42? Then he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. But of self, congregation, of self they cannot bring forth the praises of the Lord. And then so often they search out within. And then you will see them on a Sunday morning. They say, Lord, is it now lip work or is it heart work? Lord, is it of self? Is there now a little beginning of thee? And if you would meet them and you would say, well, is it then not possible? Is it then not possible to sing praises unto the Lord? Yeah, then they say, in Christ it is possible, and that is all for another. For they stand so outside of it themselves. Congregation, then we begin to enter into that church. In its infancy as it is there laid forth in that chapter in Acts. But do you know of those sighs spiritually, congregation? Do you know of those supplicatings, those pleadings before the Lord? Do you know of that spiritual life where you cannot find it within yourself? And then I hear you say, but were they not praising the Lord? Yeah. Yeah, they were praising the Lord. That lies there as a summary of the condition of the church as it is laid forth in that chapter. That flourishing church. But it was not the beginning, congregation. No, we read earlier within that portion, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Thus the receiving of that word also of those who were added to those 120, that number of 3,000, That word was received. That was that powerful, irresistible work of regeneration within the heart. That was as a testimony there of the approval of the Father's work in His beloved Son. It was a testimony of the indwelling of the Spirit in the early Christian church. Then it became true. Thine arrows are sharp, the psalmist of Psalm 45 says, in the heart of the king's enemies. And then in a moment and in an instant under that sermon of Peter, there the heart was opened and lay bare before an omniscient and an omnipotent God. There were all the signs, the wind, the fire, the tongues, congregation, all those signs of Pentecost. They spoke as a testimony of Him whom they had rejected. And there under the application of that sermon of Peter, there it was brought within the heart by the Spirit. Him ye have taken became a personal guilt, and by wicked hands ye have slain and crucified. Peter did not deny that necessity of the death of the King of Kings. No, that was in accordance with God's determinate foreknowledge. But then he laid before them their guilt in rejecting that King. That awful reality. Have you also learned it of what man is in Adam? Rejecting that work of grace. We live so in a time where it is to be feared that so many begin that life in and of themselves. Eternity shall reveal it. But there is now a people in the strife seeking to learn if it is now of the Lord. We live in a time where it is to be feared that many give themselves life. But I read different in God's word. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And that is very simply the first instruction that falls into the heart when the Lord opens the eyes. And then that depraved state of man in his deadness is there set forth within the soul. Under the searching eye of the Almighty God, He who had only sought their good, under the quickening power of the Spirit. Then one is given to see that they go to an eternal destination. And no, they do not see, beloved, that they are on the right path, no. No, then they see for the first time that they are bound for destruction. And was that not the same thing also for those distraught souls there on the day of Pentecost? Men and brethren, what shall we do? There the heart had been opened to behold what they were by nature. And then came that word, repent. But are we not all commanded to repent? That is commanded to each one of us. That is God's righteous demand, which under the preaching of the word He lays upon us, to repent, to turn to the Lord. That is that call to which we each one shall be held accountable. But that way of true repentance that can only come in truth under that heart, then it is effectually wrought by the Spirit. And how they had been given to see what they had rejected also when Christ was upon this earth. There was no room for Christ there in Jerusalem. There they had closed the city to the Lord Jesus Christ. There they had mocked Him. If He be the King of Israel, let Him come down from the cross. He trusted in God, let him deliver him. And then on that day of Pentecost, there that testimony was of the approval of the Father upon his meritorious labor. And there irresistibly that heart was opened, the iron bars were broken, and the cry came forth. Was it ever a grief, beloved, to your soul that cannot go without? Then they go as the psalmist, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Room was made, beloved, for that word. And the word entered in. They were uncovered to their ignorance as enemies by nature. And then in that receiving of the word, in that true uncovering work, then the praise of the Lord begins to come through congregation. Because then the sinner learns the ignorance in and of himself. And he begins to confess his blindness. Then there is a broken and a contrite heart of which the Lord testifies. He will not despise. Oh, I do not say they see it in and of themselves, no. No, if they saw that broken and that contrite heart in self, it would be but pride that was rising up within the heart. But there come the fruits then forth of that work of the Spirit, that reverence for God's word, reverence for God's work, reverence for God's servants, a delight to be in the company of God's children, a poor and a needy people in self. But they begin to understand the heart language. For I read within our text, praising God and having favor with all the people. That was, of course, of all those where the Lord had truly worked, but it says even broader, of all the people. And thus there came a reverence in general in that time for what had been wrought there. And maybe I could explain that very simple for our youth for a moment. And youth, if the Lord would grant for you or one of your friends that he would convert you, then perhaps you would say, I do not understand that boy or that girl. He is so different. He does not come along anymore in those things of the world. He is so quiet. You begin to regard and to respect that work at first because you see there is a difference. Did not stay. And that is nearly always true also in the life of grace. But having favor with the people, they could not deny that a change had been powerfully wrought in the hearts of those children. Then there comes a desire to be busy in God's word. And now among those early Christian church, that church in its infancy, then we can well understand also from the context of Acts 2 that there was a strong bond within that church. And what was that bond? That was now a people under that burden of guilt. We hope to see that further also in our second thought. But congregation, that was now a missing people who stood outside of it in and of themselves. But there lived within the heart that yearning and that need for that righteousness of Christ. And when those people speak with one another, then their hearts fall in together. And then they hear one another in their missing. Then they understand one another within their burdens. Then there comes a unity in their missing congregation. No, not that the Lord never visits His people. He is not a God of outer darkness. But then there comes that recognition of that work within the heart. As we see further in our second thought, the growth of the church. Where we read in our text words, and the Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the church. 'Twas the infant church, there came growth. And what is now that mark of that infant church? We have mentioned that already. That is that cry of that new life unto the Lord. That hunger and thirsting within the heart. That infant church was not only added to, but within that growth, it was a church that needed to be fed and to be nourished by, the text words say it, by the Lord. And when we now read of that Lord within our text, that is a pointing unto the exalted King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is Lord. That means He who has authority by way of ownership. That was now that richest reward upon His meriting work. That was that crowning glory that He was given to be as the head of the church. He who has authority by ownership. Is He also Lord in your life? And if you say yes, can you now explain how He was made Lord within your life? Yeah, how must that then go, perhaps you ask? How does then He become Lord within the life of one? And now then a question for such a one. How did He receive His authority in heaven and upon earth? How did He receive His authority upon heaven and upon this earth? That was now through that deep way of His humiliation upon a sin-cursed earth. And in that deep way of His humiliation, He sought only the honor of one in every step which He had brought. He sought nothing but the honor of His Father. He alone could testify, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Through that deep way of His humiliation, in every step, in every temptation, in every obstacle that came upon His pathway, there He sought only the honor of one. Then I restored that which I took not away. Psalm 69, verse 4. And now it is no different for a people who are uncovered to that inner corruption that lays within what they are and what they remain in Adam, in their thoughts, in their words, and in their deeds. A people where they learn that sin so often has the upper hand in their life. And then they are brought by renewal as a guilty one before the countenance of the Lord in their shame, who more and more upon the instruction of that pathway learn that there is nothing good which can come forth from them in and of themselves. Who bow under that burden that they cannot praise Thy name, as we said. And then they so often sigh, perhaps on a Sabbath morning, O Lord, open Thou my lips. My mouth shall show forth Thy praise. That is that church congregation that is His crowning glory. But what did He receive now for His crowning glory when we read that the Lord added? He did not receive good people. No, then I read in the psalmist, he says, for the rebellious also. And now in the heart of such a one, in the heart of such a one, then there comes that longing, that yearning. That is the outgoings of the heart as a fruit of the opening of the heart by the Spirit. Let my cry come unto thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Then they long to see and to hear no more. They long to experience that way outside of self opened for their own soul. They long to have that way revealed outside of self in Him who has glorified His Father. Then the heart goes out unto that King of Kings whom Paul writes to the Philippians. God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name. Then we could say it so simple. You know how it is then for the living church within the heart congregation. He becomes precious because they are precious in His eyes. That is what they learn. Do you know something not only of His necessity? Do you know of His suitability? Have you been instructed, children of the Lord, into His preciousness, into His all-sufficiency? My dear traveler to eternity, who is Lord in your life? 'Tis one of two this morning. You say, is there no third way? No. No, to one whispers in the heart, wait, yet it is not the Lord's time. Another, it says, it is too young. And to another, the devil whispers, you are too old. Who is Lord in your life? Is there one here and there who cries out, lost? Was it now a time lost in your life, beloved? Cut off from your sight. And the Lord added unto the church that was not only on that day of Pentecost, that is that continued growth, and He still gathers them each and every one in that same way. It is an adding of that which He had eternally spoken for. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to purchase in the fullness of time. And as the mediator by the irresistible gathering of His Spirit, He gathers for what He has paid for congregation under that sword of the Word. That is that building of the church as Paul writes to Ephesians and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And through all the ages and until the very end of time, at that moment of His good pleasure, that arrow enters within the heart, and the elect in accordance shall be turned upon that narrow pathway, and that is now the hope also in this day. Did Paul not write it also to the Romans? He said, even then at this present time there remaineth a remnant according to the election of grace. And now we are not to seek if we are elect. Those are those things of the Lord that we are not to pry into. But the fruits of election. Read then Article 12, first head of Doctrine, Canons of Dort. Those fruits of election, that godly sorrow, that repentance not to be repented of, that hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of another. Oh, then how is it they come up to God's house? And they have nothing and they are nothing in and of themselves. But then they may hear God's servants proclaim His word, or perhaps under the reading services. And there under that heart is opened and they hear something of those marks of grace. And then they leave a little encouraged. They say, oh, if I do not deceive myself, it gives me a little hope that the Lord has now made a beginning within. If I do not deceive myself, dear husband or dear wife, then I heard a little of my pathway in this morning. Then I heard a little of how the Lord works, not only in the hearts of his own, but if I don't deceive myself, it gave me courage that there is now a small beginning. For those fruits are revealed within the heart, and they hear their name called. That is that true church, which has a poor and a needy people. Oh, beloved, that people have everything, and in of self they have nothing. Why everything, you say? Because that is now that church that is carried by Christ himself. And the Lord added, the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, the psalmist testifies. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That is the salvation that he has wrought in his well-beloved son. That growth of the early church, that growth also in our day, perhaps it is not so abundant, no. Probably never another time as it was at that time of Pentecost. But that must reveal itself. That is now to search our hearts. It must reveal itself as being added of the Lord. And now the Lord added, and we read also in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly. Those fruits were seen. There was that initial instruction, and then it manifested itself as true because they were bound to that continued instruction of how a triune God is glorified in and of himself. They were bound to the instruction, beloved. And that is what that people now long to hear. Where under the preaching, all of man was cut off and laid to the side. Where all their self-righteousness, time and time again, became but filthy rags. Where all their self-assurance and pride has to be laid low time and time again. That is that painful way for the flesh, but so profitable spiritually. Because under that further instruction, then they are instructed in that self-knowledge of what lives within. And every time the Lord opens that, oh, you say, do they not learn that in an instant? No. Yeah, when does that instruction stop? When they shall be laid to rest upon this earth, then that instruction will stop. But time and time again, the Lord knows, and he knows precisely for each one of his own, to uncover a little further and a little deeper into the depth of that depraved heart. And that humbles them. And the fruit of that humbling grace will be that deep unworthiness within the heart. That is now a people that learn what John testified of. Is that also the language of your soul? Child of the Lord, it cannot be different in this morning hour. That is now such a people, helpless in their impotence. What do they say? Then they fall in agreement with what John has testified of. A man can receive nothing except it be given him. And then to receive. Then they say by renewal, maybe 40 years already upon that pathway. They say, Lord, can it yet be for such a one? And then the Lord begins to unfold. He begins to open those riddles within the soul. Then they hear their name. Oh, then it is as they receive fresh courage to go forth into a new week. That becomes now such a comfort unto that tried and exercised church, beloved, who go about with a living complaint of the soul and what they are. but of how good and of how great God is in Christ. And no, that is not seen in the beginning, I know. But that is now if that growth where the Lord does add unto that church in that truth of that number. For it is that mark of the Spirit's testimony upon the soul. It is that mark of Him striving church in the wilderness journey. Him hath God exalted at His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior. Do you see, congregation? Then one rises to the foreground. He becomes Lord in their life. We sing first. Before we go to our third thought, 304. The stanzas 4, 5, and 6. God's promise shall forever stand. He cares for those who trust His word. Upon His saints His mighty hand the wealth of nations has conferred. 4, 5, and 6 of 304. the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Our third thought, the strength of the church. Thus also within that early Christian church we have seen and we have read it together, that there was a rich growth by the Spirit that bore those marks. And that is also the hope always of God's servants, your minister too. That is the hope of your consistory. When they hear those cries of those first uncovered souls who are lost, then they leave and they are so happy, congregation. Maybe they don't say much at that house visit, but within then it sings as they leave that house in that hope. Or when they hear of that further breaking down work to lead unto that necessity of the Savior, where that is perceived. But the question now within our text is, what does that word saved mean? Some would say, some of our expositors, that it is those in the past up to that moment. Some would say it was those at that present that were being added. Some would say it refers also to those in the future. In the original, it is said that the Lord added saved souls. But we must remember therein, for we may firmly believe that it refers to all three congregations. That is, upon that foundation of Christ's work, where he has fulfilled the eternal good pleasure of God. And then those latter days wherein we live, that is as that harvest time. Then there was a planting, then there is growth, but there is now that gathering of that church upon his finished work. But beloved, man cannot see it as God sees it. And so it is also in the heart of an uncovered sinner. Man cannot see it as a finished work, as God sees it, except that the Lord instruct in the further leadings into the full assurance. That is true. But in the ascension of Christ and in the pouring out of his Spirit, that was a testimony that the church in its entire was returned by the hand of the mediator into the heart of the Father. Paul writes to the Ephesians, hath raised us up together, thus in his resurrection, suffering's resurrection, but also in his ascension, and hath made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And there is the strength of the church, beloved. But are we a living member thereof? The strength of the church is that it lies secure, eternally secure, for the head is above the strife. And as the mediator, the blessed Emmanuel, he has the church in his hand, such as should be saved. He is that approved mediator, and when he there appeared in the heavenly realms, at the right hand of his Father, then room and place came in the midst of the church, that he by his Spirit could dwell in the church, and thus he is gathering upon that finished work. But the striving church here upon earth in general lacks the conscious knowledge upon the soul of that finished work. They cannot see it as God sees it. And that is needed also for those souls. That is needed to drive them out in dependence to that head of the church. But for Christ, he is gathering, and that is different than in nature. We may seek to gather in a harvest, if the Lord will grant it, that would be of his goodness by renewal. But in nature we may lose a crop because of sin, because of God's judgments upon sin. We all know that. But of Christ's work there shall not be one lost congregation. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. That is all reflected in that word, saved. And thus from the moment where they are effectually wrought upon, and that broken and that contrite heart begins to reveal itself, and then there comes that persevering of that church. And now they are commanded to persevere, but they learn they can only persevere in and through the head of the church. And it is precisely that portion of perseverance which is so often the strife of the church upon earth. Is that warfare with the three-headed enemy. Are you a stranger of it, beloved? That spiritual warfare. For if you are yet a stranger of it, then it is not well with your soul. And that people shall learn it is not well with their soul until they are given to rest in Christ. And that is now that seeking people knocking also in the midst of this life. You say, can they then never believe it? Oh, then there are those moments that the Lord grants faith in exercise. And then they may look above all that stands between for a moment here and there. And by moments the Lord gives them a joy in the head of the church. By moments the Lord grants them that faith and exercise. Then they may close that empty beggar's hand upon what he has wrought for a moment. Then they learn by renewal who that Christ is for such an enemy of free and sovereign grace. That is a looking, a searching, a seeking people. Then they may by moments behold something of the riches of him in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge the Lord grants, as he did to that early Christian church, those moments of rest. And he grants by moments that growth through his breaking down work. But children of the Lord, it is those short moments of rest. Also for the early Christian church here in Acts, read then a few chapters further. That rest was removed. That was for the benefit of the church here upon earth. And no, not that they can see the way forward, no. But that rest must be removed. That is for their spiritual welfare also. That they may be driven to that foundation, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That is that most blessed, that greatest blessing. That is that cutting off, that emptying work of the Spirit. According to His mercy, He hath saved us. There is no hope for that people. And they learn it in the experience outside of that blood righteousness of Christ. He who has fulfilled all righteousness, he in whom a holy, a righteous, and a just God does rest eternally. And then congregation, that is a people, they go forth with hope sometimes. And they have a hope in the midst of the strife. Self, which they learn, cleaves to the things of time and sense, which must be broken away. Sin, that nature of sin, which becomes such a burden to their soul. For then they see time and again that sweet communion in those moments where it is given, that that now is broken by what comes forth from within again. And the devil, whom they learn they have no strength against, but he preserves. That is now a people in the instruction they learn that if the Lord would now remove his hand for a moment, that then they were the prey of the devil. Oh, fearful church, fear not. Then there are those times you shall experience that he does remove his sustaining power any measure. That is for your instruction. But where that work is true, that does not mean they never fall into sin. No, the Lord glorifies his name above all. But he shall now preserve that people unto the end. Then they may flee by renewal, as Peter testified, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But do you know it now? We must close. Do you know it now for your own heart? And where shall such ones end, congregation? That is in this earthly sojourn. Then I read of it. And the Lord added, and they were praising God. The Lord added, he is that ministering prophet, that interceding priest, that all-powerful king. And the Lord added, and he grants them that communion by moments. And in him, then they may praise, then they may extol that gift of God, which he has given in his Son. Then God is extolled in Christ's work. Then the sinner is laid to the lowest in the depths. And then we have, as we read in our text, the Lord added, and God is praised. Then it is fulfilled in truth. Then they may testify by those moments, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. There the sinner falls away, congregation. Their self is removed out of the way. Their all sin falls by the wayside. Then for those moments, then they may have that smooth path between the Lord and their soul. Then there is no more room for the glory of man. Oh, my beloved, is it on such a foundation? Amen. Let us close with prayer. Lord, we may seek thy countenance, the close of this morning service where thou hast granted that thy word could yet go forth. And then it awaits the workings of thy dear spirit within our heart. Lord, may it be granted that we may be given to acknowledge thee for thy help. Then it comes forth ever from sin-stained lips. But that thou wouldest yet forgive all that was amiss in speaking and in listening, and that it may be as that tool in thy hand. Go then with us in the furtherance of this day. Wilt thou bring us to thy house in this afternoon hour? We ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We close with the singing of Psalter 370, the two stanzas. How good and pleasant is the sight when brethren make it their delight to dwell in blessed accord. And what follows, the two stanzas of 370. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.